From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. This week's view features a number of updates on a variety of issues related to transcatheter aortic valve replacement, or TAVR. We have a lot of questions about TAVR. How durable are the current valves? Are newer generation valves more durable than some of the earlier generation valves? What about the use of TAVR in off-label situations? And also, does operator or institutional experience have any significant impact on outcomes? We'll look at each of these areas through a series of four interesting articles that have been recently published on these topics. Our first study was published in a recent issue of the European Journal of Cardiology by Gerkens et al., and it examines the expanding use of TAVR to younger patients and the durability of these valves in these patients. The article was titled Final 5-Year Clinical and Echocardiographic Results of Treatment of Severe Aortic Stenosis with Self-Expanding Bioprosthesis from the ADVANCE Registry. ADVANCE is a global registry, prospective, non-randomized, multi-center, 44 centers in 12 countries. The type of anesthesia and approach was determined by the heart team at each place, which included at least one interventional cardiologist and one cardiothoracic surgeon. This is a nice study because it was monitored 100% and adverse events were adjudicated by an independent clinical events committee. The study included about 1,000 patients. Mean age was 81. The Euroscore average mean was 19.3%. 5-year follow-up was available on roughly half. The first take-home message is that the 5-year all-cause mortality was about 50% and the stroke rate was about 5%. Looking at hemodynamic measures, the valves functioned well, and at 5 years, the mean aortic valve gradient was just around 9 millimeters of mercury. And the frequency of aortic valve regurgitation, if anything, decreased over time from 12.8% to around 8% by 5 years. And a reintervention was necessary in only about 3% of patients. So certainly, this article from the European Heart Journal gives us a nice recent update in terms of the 5-year durability of these newer generation valves, and I think reinforces the benefit for patients that have a very limited lifespan without an aortic valve intervention. A second study I want to go over is a study called Procedural Experience for Transcatheter Aortic Valve Replacement and Relationship to Outcomes from the STS-ACC-TVT Registry. This was published in JACC. As you know, the STS-ACC-TVT registry is a comprehensive national repository of individual patient data from TAVR cases submitted for reimbursement in the United States. And in this particular article, the authors looked at the relationship between hospital TAVR volume and patient outcomes from almost 43,000 patients from 395 hospitals submitting data to TVT registry from 2011 to 2015. The results were very interesting. As you might expect, increasing site volume was associated with lower in-hospital risk-adjusted outcomes, including mortality and vascular complications, as well as bleeding, but not stroke. If one looked at the gradient of risk from the first case to the 400th in a volume outcome model, the lowest risk hospitals had a mortality of around 2%, and the highest risk low volume hospitals around 3.5%. The bleeding rates went from 5 to nearly 10%, and the vascular complication rates went from roughly 4% to 6%. The stroke rates were low in both high volume and lower volume institutions at around 2%. The other thing that was interesting is there appeared to be a cut point so that vascular and bleeding volume outcome associations were nonlinear, with higher risk in the first 100 cases. In a subgroup analysis, these same types of outcomes were seen in patients exposed to the most traditional access, transfemoral access. So the conclusions of this article are certainly that the initial adoption of TAVR into hospital practice in the United States is seeing an increased rate of risk in the first 100 cases, And more experience, more cases, appears to have better outcomes, even when risk-adjusted. Certainly, it raises the question of whether or not we should be focusing at least some of our valve centers of excellence throughout states in the United States in order to achieve these better outcomes. There also appears to be potentially a significant learning curve institutionally for the first 100 cases. Okay, so that's an interesting paper looking at volume-outcome relations. Now I want to shift our focus a little bit to what is the experience with newer generation valves compared to older generation valves? And we're going to be talking about an article called Temporal Trends in Transcatheter Aortic Valve Replacement in France, France 2 to France TAVI. And these investigators included TAVRs performed in 48 centers across France between January of 2013 and December of 2015. This was in the France TAVI registry, and these were compared to patients enrolled in the France 2 registry, which captured TAVRs from an earlier time point, January 2010 to January 2012, across 34 centers. So the thing to look at here was the primary endpoint of in-hospital all-cause mortality and secondary endpoints, including 30-day outcomes and so forth. So in the more recent experience, there were almost 13,000 patients, and the prior experience, the France 2 registry, over 4,000 patients. The median age was 85 years, and about half were men. Interestingly, the most recent experience, the Euroscore was lower, meaning that investigators were taking on slightly lower-risk patients, as we see across both Europe and the United States, 15% versus 18.4%. Most of the patients, about 80%, were transfemoral in terms of their access. The in-hospital and 30-day mortality for the recent experience were 4.4 and 5.4% respectively, which are significantly lower than just 3 years before, where the rates were 8.2 and 10% respectively. So the authors of this paper concluded that the newer generation valves, as well as probably a selection of lower-risk patients in France, is leading to better outcomes after TAVR. And I think it reflects both moving technology in terms of better access delivery and better valves, but also a tendency for increasingly patients, given a choice, choosing a less invasive method of aortic valve replacement. I think the final paper I'd like to talk about looks at this question of off-label use. The article is entitled Trends and Outcomes of Off-Label Use of Transcatheter Aortic Valve Replacement, Insights from the NCDR STS ACC TVT Registry. This was published just recently in JAMA Cardiology. The article looks at the frequency and outcomes of off-label use in the United States and also comparing those to current on-label use. So they use the same registry that we've been talking about. This study examined almost 24,000 patients from 328 sites performing TAVR between 2011 and 2014. Off-label TAVR was defined as TAVR in patients with known bicuspid valve disease, what appeared to only be moderate aortic stenosis, patients who had severe mitral regurgitation as well, patients who had severe aortic valve regurgitation, and patients who had a significant subaortic stenosis. In this study, the investigators linked the database to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services 30-day and one-year outcomes to study 15,000 patients for these late events. If we look at the 24,000 or so patients in the study, again, roughly half were men, half were women, and the off-label use was about 9.5%. And as you might expect, the mortality in the hospital was higher for off-label TAVR patients, 6.3 versus 4.7%. And the 30-day mortality was also higher, 8.5% versus 6.1%. The median rate of off-label use per hospital was in the 7% range. And clearly, the TAVR patients who had off-label use had a unadjusted mortality that was higher, but when risk-adjusted, actually was fairly similar to on-label use. And of course, this article, I think, highlights the fact that as we become more adept with our technologies, the desire to use this less invasive form of aortic valve replacement is high. And certainly from this observational study, it looks like the off-label use is associated with pretty good outcomes. However, we should keep in mind that this is observational, and I think we should argue for randomized trials in each of these various cohorts, particularly for patients who appear to be at reasonable risk, because we need to ensure that the long-term durability in a patient with 10, 20-year survival is thought about as we move from more invasive to less invasive forms of valve treatment. So I thought these four articles were interesting. Certainly, I've been practicing for 33 years. I never in my wildest dreams believed that we would be doing valve therapy percutaneously. And it's a tremendous advance. And I think, as these articles point out, we're learning all the time about durability, the expanding use of the technology to potentially other groups of patients, the value of more recent technology, et cetera. So I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACCIE.org, and all of this can be found on the ACC's website. You can find us online or wherever you get your podcast, and all of these articles will be available to you in full. Thank you, and have a good day.